Our next speaker is Jennifer Bernstein, or is it Stein?
Stein.
Stein. Bernstein. She is a staff attorney with the Network for Public Health Law, Mid-States Region at the University of Michigan School of Public Health. And she provides technical assistance and training on a variety of public health law topics. She got a bachelor's in women's studies from the University of Wisconsin and her law degree and MPH from the University of Iowa. Welcome.
Hi, I'm really glad to be here, and I, like was said, I work at the Network for Public Health Law, and the Network for Public Health Law is focused on using law as a tool to improve public health, and as previous presenters said, I feel like this is a perfect segue into my presentation. We had the California bill that was mentioned in the previous presentation. I'll be talking a little bit about that as well. I have no disclosures, no financial relationships to disclose at this time. And so first I'll be talking about New York's Breastfeeding Mothers Bill of Rights, and then working on the California Hospital Infant Feeding Act, and then talking about voluntary hospital programs that go more into policy, and then finally talking about the Latch On NYC campaign. So the New York State Public Health Law, which is called the New York Breastfeeding Mother's Bill of Rights, it's a bill that was passed in 2009, I believe, and it requires that hospitals provide a copy of the Bill of Rights to all patients at the time of pre-booking or the time of admission to a maternal health care facility, and it enumerates 21 different rights that women have before delivery at the maternal health care facility and upon leaving the health care facility. And it also, I think, thinking about it, this bill really is in contrast to the California bill, and I'll explain a little bit more about that, but this bill requires the patient to proactively exercise her rights under the law, and thus hospitals are actually reactive to patient requests. Patients can contact the New York State Department of Health or hospital complaint hotline if the facility does not honor their rights, but women actually have to request certain things in the baby-friendly steps. They have to request that hospitals accommodate that. So some of the enumerated rights, it's like I said, it's 21, it's very extensive, but some of the rights include beginning breastfeeding with 1 hour after birth, having trained personnel give breastfeeding help when needed, the baby not receiving any bottle feeding or pacifiers, the right to know about and refuse drugs that might dry up breast milk, breastfeed baby at any time, day or night, know if the doctor is advising against breastfeeding and why they might be advising against breastfeeding, having a sign on the crib stating that the baby is breastfeeding so that staff don't inadvertently feed non-breast milk to the baby, be discharged from the facility without discharge packs that contain infant formula or formula coupons unless that has been ordered by the baby's healthcare provider, and being obviously informed about why the healthcare provider is advising against breastfeeding again. So the Breastfeeding Mother's Bill of Rights, I think, is a, I see a few problems with it because women have to proactively request accommodation and they're provided with the information at pre-booking is the ideal time, but many women might not receive prenatal care, and so they might be first provided this information upon, entrance for delivery, and those kinds of situations make it hard to be able to understand what your rights might be and to be able to request it. Also, women who might feel a power imbalance between themselves and healthcare providers might feel might feel that unable to request those kinds of accommodations, and that definitely presents a problem. For the California Hospital Infant Feeding Act, which, as we said, was passed last year but doesn't go into effect until January 2014, California was actually the first state to pass a law that specifically requires hospitals to establish and publicize policies that encourage breastfeeding. Unlike the New York law, this actually requires hospitals to put those policies into place and to make them publicly available on their websites and to post them in the hospital. And it identifies, the bill specifically states and identifies the importance of breastfeeding as a public health issue, which I think is crucial because it presents it in terms of, a health issue for all. And then it also allows hospitals to develop their own policies, but requires that hospitals follow guidelines that are set forth in the Baby Friendly Hospital Initiative or the California State Department of Public Health Model Hospital Policy Recommendations. And we've gone over this in one of the previous presentations, but just as a review, the Baby Friendly Hospital Initiative was launched in 91 by the UNICEF and WHO as a global effort to enable mothers to breastfeed, and the criteria include the 10 steps, which includes written breastfeeding policy routinely communicated to staff. And in one of the previous presentations, we saw that written breastfeeding policy was the number one determinant of exclusive breastfeeding. And so I think that lends support to the California bill that hospitals have to initiate a written policy and provide that to their patients and make it available on their website because it is so important. And then also training staff in skills necessary to implement the policy, informing women about the benefits and management of breastfeeding, help mothers initiate breastfeeding within a half hour of birth, show mothers how to breastfeed and maintain lactation, give newborns only breast milk unless medically indicated otherwise, practice rooming in, so 24 hours a day, encourage breastfeeding on demand, give no artificial teats or pacifiers to breastfeeding infants, and foster the establishment of breastfeeding support groups and hotlines to provide support after the woman leaves the hospital. And so the California Model Hospital Policy Recommendations vary a little bit from the Baby Friendly Initiative. And the policy recommendations are that hospitals should promote and support breastfeeding. Health professionals with breastfeeding expertise should educate pregnant and postpartum women when the opportunity exists. Hospitals should encourage medical staff to perform breast exams and provide guidance for conditions affecting breastfeeding. Hospital staff should support the mother's choice to breastfeed and encourage exclusive breastfeeding for the first 6 months. And health professionals should encourage mothers to hold newborns during the first 2 hours after birth unless contraindicated. And there should be, I think I missed a marker there, it should be resource should be provided for breastfeeding support. Mothers and infants should be assessed for effective breastfeeding and offered instruction in breastfeeding as indicated. Artificial nipples and pacifiers should be discouraged. Nothing but breast milk should be given to breastfeeding infants without mother's informed consent or the physician's order. Mothers and infants should be encouraged to remain together during the hospital stay. And at discharge, mothers should be given information regarding community resources for breastfeeding support. So with these, the Baby Friendly Hospital Initiative and the California Model Hospital Policy Recommendations, if a hospital sets up a written policy based on these, then these are the practices that they are stating to the government that they will be following. And so a woman isn't required to proactively assert her rights for these. These are the policies that should be default for the hospital to maintain while the mother is at the hospital. And so I feel in that way it's superior to the New York bill, even though both of them seem to give similar rights. I think it's just the structure of the bill that differs. And so how will the policies for California look like? So the statute, the language of the statute is still very open-ended. It just says that the written policy should be based. It doesn't say that it has to follow either of these models exclusively. So I think because the act is not going to become operative until January 2014, we still have yet to see what these hospitals will structure as their policies and how they will look and be implemented in the future. And I think that that can make a big difference in how this bill will be effective going forward, and something that we should all keep our eyes on. And then there's been a lot of voluntary action on the part of hospitals around the country that are not required by law, but more states that are working together to have hospitals voluntarily implement baby-friendly hospital initiatives. So one of the steps in the baby-friendly hospital initiative that a lot of hospitals have been surrounding themselves around is the idea of stopping formula giveaways upon discharge. And so we've seen some hospitals in some states make that move. So in the fall of 2011, Rhode Island became the first state where all seven birthing hospitals stopped formula giveaways to eliminate the practice of the goodie bag and to be goodie bag free. And I think that, in 2011, it seemed like, oh, that's wonderful, an entire state. I mean, of course, it's only seven birthing hospitals, and so it seems like a much easier feat to accomplish in a state like Rhode Island. But then in summer of 2012, just recently, Massachusetts became the second state in which all 49 birthing hospitals in the state voluntarily banned infant formula goodie bags. And so I think that Massachusetts is able to show that even in a larger state with many more hospitals, it is possible to get hospitals to sign on to voluntary action. And I think that is a very positive step and very good. So there's been a Ban the Bags initiative that has been going on, and that included 643 hospitals and birthing centers across the United States that have voluntarily agreed to eliminate formula goodie bags. And that accounts for 19% of all hospitals and birth centers nationwide. So we can see there's a lot of room for improvement just on this one step for the baby-friendly hospital initiative. And it's based on the idea that marketing tactics by formula companies really have no place in maternity hospitals, and that hospitals should be a market for health and nothing else. And finally, I come to the Latch On NYC campaign, which is both a voluntary hospital policy initiative and a ad campaign all rolled into one. And as you can see, this is just one of the ad campaigns that is now featured in New York City on buses and subways and around town. And it's a voluntary commitment by hospitals to enforce New York law, not to supplement breastfeeding infant with formula unless medically indicated, and document that they are not receiving formula on their medical chart, and also limit hospital staff access to infant formula in the hospital, discontinue the distribution of promotional or free formula, and prohibit display and distribution of infant formula advertising or promotional materials in the hospital. And so 23 of the 40 hospitals in New York City that deliver babies have signed up for the campaign as of May 2012, and it requires participating hospitals to actually lock up and track their inventories of infant formula as they would do for medication. And as you can imagine, this has sparked quite a bit of debate about the Latch On NYC debate. Just a couple of the comments from news sources. Starting November 3rd, baby formula will become a controlled substance at some New York City hospitals. If a new mom begs hard enough, the put-on nurse is allowed to dole out a swig of the devil's brew. The nanny state is going after moms. And that's not only unnecessary, but is both demeaning and disrespectful of women's rights to make their own choice about how to feed their infant. So there, from looking at it, there's been a lot of saying that breastfeeding is now anti-feminist and that the Latch on New York City campaign is discouraging women from having choice in their feeding decisions is really the gist of what I got. And so just as a little plug for where I work, the Network for Public Health Law, if you are interested in joining, we, like I said, we provide technical assistance on a range of public health law topics, and so I encourage you to go to our website, networkforphl.org, to sign up, and you'll get all of the information that we have been tracking on this issue and other maternal and child health issues that affect. So, thank you. And I believe I have 2 minutes for questions. So, yes.
Mm-hmm. So two clarifications. One is that although the breastfeeding of mothers' bill of rights is something that mothers have to be proactive, many, many of the hospitals have policies in place. Mm-hmm. So it is not necessary for the mother to make those requests mm-hmm. because those same items that you address
yeah.
are policies in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So the mothers don't have to. That law also includes going beyond the hospital in terms of public breastfeeding. They're permitted to public breastfeed.
Yes.
They are permitted by law to have break time to pump for their infants, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
some of the
yeah.
extensions they will have to ask for because now they're beyond the scope of the hospital at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one clarification. And I do agree with you about the Latch New York, because it's getting this negative press because it was really misunderstood. That locking up is really a locking up to track. Many of the hospitals in New York State have what we call PICSIS. I don't know if
yeah.
many of you who work in hospitals are familiar with the PICSIS system. So that system really was put into place as inventory control, not to prevent
mm-hmm.
access. If you go in and punch in your numbers, you can get whatever, as a worker there, you can get whatever it is you want. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the
mm-hmm.
it can be other steps as well.
Yeah.
So it's really an inventory control, and so for many of the hospitals, of course I can't speak for all of them in New York City, but many of them, that was what they were referring to in terms of their, locking up. But it,
mm-hmm.
it was really taken, blown way out of proportion and really misunderstood.
Okay. So I'm pretty much out of time, but just to follow up on that, I just wanted to say that there are definitely hospitals in New York that will provide those accommodations for women without them proactively, but not all hospitals are that progressive, and we still have a long way to go. And thank you.